Will the real Moses stand up? Number two. Now, in the first one, will the real Moses stand up? We finished in John, the 5th chapter, so let's turn there. Let's just review that, because that will help set the stage for number two. But most people believe, and the Jews tell everyone, that Judaism is the worship of God as defined in the Old Testament, which it isn't. That's why we have the book coming out, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or Religion of Men. As we saw in number one, they have all of their traditions. And the truth really is, the reason they had all of their traditions and they exalted their traditions above the Word of God is because while they had Moses, they didn't believe Moses. And they didn't have the love of God in them, as Jesus said. Let's pick it up here in verse 39. You search the scriptures, John 5, verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life. And in the Old Testament, there was not the promise given of eternal life. You read Deuteronomy 28, as I mentioned, and you'll see blessings and cursings, physical life, physical cursings, so forth. Whereas you read like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. You see nothing like that in the Old Testament. So, this tells us one thing, that you have eternal life. This tells us that their Judaism incorporated all the philosophical reasoning of the Greek philosophers. And that was epitomized by Philo. If you've never read Philo, that's an eye-opener. And what they did with the Greek abstract reasoning and logic, which the Jews really liked, was they would interpret everything in an allegorical sense. And remember when Abraham was reasoning with God and the two angels were with him? Well, for the Hellenistic Judaism, that was telling us about the Trinity. So there are a lot of strange beliefs that Judaism has that people know absolutely nothing about. And yet, just like at the conference, I ask everybody, I said, how many here believe, we're told, or you heard, that the Jews are just like us, only they need Jesus? Everyone raise their hands. Okay. Well, much more so in Protestantism, because they're told if they don't support the Jews, if they say a bad word against the Jews, you are cursed. And even some have said, well, because Obama's treating the Jews the way he's been treating them, that's why things are going bad for us, and that's why the well blew up down there in the Gulf, and why we have this big oil spill, because Obama is not treating the Jews right. Because they look at the scripture, bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, see. So you get all kinds of strange reasonings and intermixings of things, see. So let's get the record straight and have the real Moses stand up. No, they didn't have eternal life. And they are the ones that testify of me, which has to do with all the prophecies concerning Jesus' first coming, as well as second coming. But you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. And here is the reason. I do not receive glory from men, but they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. See? But I have known you. Of course, you know, God in the flesh. He can read their thoughts. He knows their hearts. That you do not have the love of God in yourselves. They didn't even have the love of God in themselves that was commanded there in Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, etc. They didn't even have that. Now today we're going to see why they didn't have it and why people today still have the misconception about Moses and why they say that keeping the law of Moses is a curse. Now, that puts you under the law. You do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Well, look what happened after they rejected Jesus. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Here comes Bar Kokhba, which means the son of light, and he was half Edomite, half Jew, and they had the Akiba. They had Rabbi Akiba say, this one is the Messiah. He's going to bring back Jerusalem. So they had the rebellion again against Rome in 130 AD, 60 years after the destruction of the temple. And they got absolutely slaughtered. Well, since that time, because they have rejected Jesus, they've had hundreds of messiahs down through their history. Most recent one was Rabbi Lubavitch. Remember that one? In New York? And he was old and ailing, and they said, this is the Messiah, he's going to restore everything. And he died. Generally happens to when you get in that condition. And what did the believers say? Because you see, those who follow the rabbis hold the rabbis in higher esteem than the Catholics hold their priests. And they look upon them as greater than God because their pronunciations are so good, so great, that even God must obey them. And even one wrote that God has said, my children have corrected me. Okay, so this is the kind of attitude we're dealing with the Jews. Yet they say, oh, we believe in Moses. We follow Moses. All right. Verse 44. How are you able to believe you who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. I don't have to go up to God. Tell him, look how bad you are. There's one who accuses you. Present tense, as I pointed out, because the word of God is the word of God and it's living. See? And Moses just gave the law. God gave it to Moses and Moses to the people, and everywhere in the first five books of the law you read, and God said, spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say. Okay? There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. But if you believed Moses, see, they believed their traditions and not Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Pretty strong message to him, right? And remember what we have read, that Paul wrote to Timothy that from a child you've known the holy writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, let's examine the question a little further here in the Gospel of John. Let's ask the question, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees included, the leaders of the religion that should have been what Moses gave them, but was their own religion of Judaism based on their own laws and traditions. Let's see what Jesus said. All right? Let's come over here to verse 16, John 7, chapter 7 and verse 16. After they were berating Jesus because they didn't know where he got his education and he didn't have letters. You know, it's like one man told someone concerning my Passover book, well, you can't believe anything that's in the Passover book because Fred Coulter doesn't have any letters after his name, like PhD or THD, you know. So it was the same thing here with Jesus. See? Jesus answered them, verse 16, and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, and isn't that what we're told we need to do? The will of the Father. Hold your place right here and go to Matthew 7. We covered that here recently, so let's just, you can put that in your margin and have it in your notes. Matthew 7. All right. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. So that's what we are to be doing, right? Yes. John 7 and verse 17 again now. If anyone desires to do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own self. Now here is a good key to understand. All right, you have to believe, number one. Then you have to desire to do the will of the Father. Then you will understand doctrine, whether it's from God or whether it's from a man. See? But you can never understand the truth. That's why. Beginning to keep the Sabbath is the first step in beginning to understand the truth. Verse 18, the one who speaks of himself is seeking his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now notice verse 19. This helps answer the question. How did the Jews and the Jewish religious leaders view Moses and teach Moses? Right here, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and not one of you is practicing the law? They had the framework of it, yes. They did some of the things in the law, but notice their attitude. Why do you seek to kill me? So they weren't keeping the law. A little later on, he says that, yes, you circumcise a man on the Sabbath, verse 23. Okay, let's come down here to verse 22. Now then, Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. So that part they kept. But how much of the law is involved in circumcision? Well, maybe two or three verses, half a dozen at the most. And if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man entirely whole on the Sabbath? And yet, as I pointed out, there are some people who believe where it says that Jesus loosed the Sabbath, and there in John 5, they say Jesus did away with the Sabbath there when he healed this man. Okay. Now, let's see some more things concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? Let's come here to Matthew 19, and let's see some more of their attitude. Matthew 19. Now, if you have not gone through the series, it's quite an extended series, and it is called Scripturalism versus Judaism. Okay? Now, let's come here to Matthew 19, verse 7. Okay. Well, let's come back here. We have to come back to verse 3. Then the Pharisees came to him and tempted him, saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause? Because that's what they did. Anything, all the man had to do is just say, sayonara, give a bill of divorcement. Gone. But he answered and said to them, have you not read? Now, how many times did Jesus say in the Gospels, have you not read? It's just like the Protestants today and the Catholics today. Do they have the Bible? Yes. They read from it, but whenever it comes to the Sabbath, they, whoop, hopscotch. They go beyond that. Whenever it comes to the holy days, double hopscotch. Have you never read, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Well, that's Genesis 2. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Then they said to him, aha, we got you. See? Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? And he said to them, because of your hard-heartedness, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Now then, he sets the record straight. And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, because that breaks the marriage bond of one flesh. The word immorality here comes from the Greek word porneia, and we also have the English word derivation from that, pornography. That means any kind of sexual immorality. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality. All of those are mentioned in the Bible, and all of those are practiced by people in varying degrees today. God says, and this is the way you keep the society from falling apart. Mother and father. Then he goes on to say here, and shall marry another, that is for any other cause, is committing adultery, and the one who marries her who has been divorced is committing adultery. And so he set the record straight for him there. All right, let's see some other things here concerning the scribes and Pharisees. Let's come back to Matthew 23. Matthew 23 is really revealing, isn't it? And this also tells us another difficulty that it looks like Jesus is endorsing the Pharisees. And I'll explain that to you. Because some people say, well, Jesus said, whatever they tell you to do, do. So if they say, keep the Passover on the 15th, you keep it on the 15th. And if they say, count Pentecost beginning with the first holy day, then you do that and you keep Pentecost on the 6th of Sivan. See? That doesn't mean that interpretation. Let's read it here. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat as judges. Now, who was to be on Moses' seat? The high priest. What did Judaism do in all the synagogues? They had a chair in the synagogue called the seat of Moses. When they had a dispute, either in the synagogue or at the temple, the one sitting in the seat of Moses would open the scriptures to give a judgment. Now, a judgment made from the scriptures was to be honored. But that had nothing to do with Judaism and the religion of the Jews. So let's read it. Therefore, every judgment that they tell you to observe, observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not. So what happens? They read the scriptures, tell other people what to do according to the scriptures, but they don't do it. And then they turn around and in their teachings lay heavy burdens grievous to be borne upon them. That's why in the Judaism book we're publishing, we have, 32 pages from the Code of Jewish Law? Right there. So people will be able to know what it is. And right in the first chapter, it starts out that this code of Jewish law is so you will know how to keep the law of Moses. And there isn't hardly anything in there about the law of Moses. All their own laws. And I love the one when you're walking on the Sabbath, if the creek is too far across, you can't jump over because that is exerting energy, but you can hold up your trousers and wade across. How far is it? Well, 18 and a half inches, you can jump. 19? Mm-mm. Okay. For they say and do not. And isn't that interesting in everything that you see in religion today? They say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of men, but they will not move them with one of their own fingers. Now, since they like the glory of men, here's what they do. And they do all their works to be seen of men. What is it that they do? Come back here to Matthew, the 6th chapter here for just a minute, and we'll see one of them that Jesus brought up. Now, can you imagine this? Now, the other day, going to the post office, they had the women collecting money for the veterans, because Veterans Day was coming up, and you put a donation in there, and they give you a little paper flower. So I donated a couple times while they were there, and they gave me a little flower. Can you imagine this? Here comes an Orthodox Jew with his trumpeter right next to him. Okay? And he goes up to put some money in there, and while he's holding it, before he drops it in there, the trumpeter sounds the music. Famous Rabbi so-and-so is contributing to this fund. Okay. Verse 1. Beware that you do not bestow your alms in the sight of men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Now, do we have something like that? Yes, every Christmas, don't we? Every Thanksgiving? And remember this mother so-and-so up in Oakland, for Thanksgiving, she started out getting a few turkeys and helping some of the homeless and hungry men. Well, it grew into a big thing. Same way with up there in San Francisco. They get the television out there, they show everything that they do, and every once in a while they pan the line of people standing there to get a meal. They aren't hungry. They aren't starving. They're well-dressed. Just getting a free meal. Okay? To be seen of men, so that they may have glory from men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. All right, come down here to verse 5. No, let's see. Do your alms, verse 3. You do it in secret. When you pray, do it in secret. You shall not, verse 5 now. But when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Now, in the first edition of the Harmonies, I paraphrase that, sanctimonious pretenders. which really fits, because that's what they are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets in order that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. And likewise, you have the same thing. You have the same thing today. You watch any of these television shows, and boy, when they want money, they get up there and they pray, you know, in all kinds of public prayers. That's why we do not have long public prayers. What you need to do is go through and study the Gospels and ask yourself the question, how many public prayers did Jesus give? Anybody know? Then ask the question, how long were they? Well, there were three for feeding the 4,000 and 5,000, right? There was the one to call Lazarus out of the tomb. That's four. And notice how short the one in John 11 was. Father, I thank you that you hear me always. And for the sake of the people here, I'm praying. That's it. How long was that? 10 seconds? Yeah, how long was that? Yes, he prayed on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's five times. Thank you. Yes. All right. Now let's come back to Matthew 23, because Matthew 23 will tell you exactly why we are not to follow Judaism and the interpretation that they give. So when the Pharisees and scribes, or those of Judaism, talk about Moses, they're not talking about Moses the way we talk about Moses. They're talking about Moses the way they think of Moses. And when they say Moses and the law of Moses, they mean all of their traditional laws that surround the laws of God are included. And that's the hardest thing for people to understand. And because they don't understand it, the Jews say, well, yes, we're just like the Christians, only, you know, we're waiting for the Messiah to come. Are you not waiting for Jesus to return? They put them right in the same category there. We're just like you. Well, let's see if they are. Okay. Yes, to be seen of men. Verse 6 now, Matthew 23. And they loved the first place at the suppers and the chief seats in the synagogues. As a matter of fact, on the holy days in the synagogues, do you know that you have to buy your seat to get in there? And you have to buy the ticket. And you better be a chief mucky muck if you want to buy a chief mucky muck seat. Okay? And the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And what is it with the Catholics? Oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, Father. You know, there was this guy waiting for the bus at a bus stop, and here came a father, and he was standing there waiting for the bus, and someone came by and said, good morning, Father, and walked along, and then here came, a mother superior, and she stood right next to the priest, and a woman came by and said, good morning, Mother, good morning, Father, and she went on by, and another nun came up, not of a high order, but a young nun, and then someone else came up and said to them, oh, good morning, Mother. Good morning, Father. And the person stood there and looked at them and said, my, that's a nice family, isn't it? A mockery of the family. See? Likewise with Rabbi. Verse 8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for one is your master, the Christ. And all of you are brethren. So much for the high exalted apostles, right? Yes, he was talking to his disciples and the multitude. All of you are brethren. Also, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And the JWs always like to nail the Catholics on this. Well, the way you nail the JWs is this. Why don't you keep the Sabbath? Oh, we keep every day holy. Okay. Verse 10. Neither be called master, for one is your master, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. See, so the truth is just the opposite of what the world likes and the religious leaders of the world demand. See? Verse 12, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. Why, we've seen that time and again, haven't we? Yes. And whoever will humble himself shall be exalted. Better to be humble and later be exalted by God. Don't put yourself forward. Verse 13, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He didn't say, oh, wonderful scribes and Pharisees, just magnanimous workers and examples for everyone to see, right? No. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, sanctimonious pretenders. I still like that. But that was a stretch for a more literal translation. For you devour widows' houses, and as a pretext, you offer prayers of great length. Because of this, you shall receive the greater judgment. Now notice what they do with their doctrines and with their teachings. It happens with the Jews, it happens with the Protestants, it happens with the Catholics and any other religion of men. Verse 14, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven before men, for neither do yourselves enter, nor do you allow those who are entering to enter. Oh, don't go to that church. And what did they do toward the Christians? Later. They had a special curse for the minim. And they had a special test for anyone attending the synagogue. They were to say this particular formula, and it ended in, cursed be the minim. So in the synagogues, they were cursing the Christians. Well, what do they do in Sunday-keeping churches, the Sabbath keepers? Oh! They're counterfeits. They're trying to be Jews. And what happens when a Jew finds out you're keeping the Sabbath? Well, like what happened to one widow we know, she went to her dentist who was a Jew, found out that she kept the Sabbath and holy days. Boy, he about pulled out all of her teeth in his anger, you know. Hey? That's for the Jews only. What are you doing that for? Same way with the Catholics. Boy, if you tell them, hey, everything you have is upside down and backward, well, what is Jesus telling the Pharisees here? And remember, these were the ones who claimed to follow Moses but didn't. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he has become one, you make him twofold more a son of Gehenna than yourselves. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides. Remember what Jesus said? Let the blind lead the blind, and they'll both fall in the ditch. Let the dead bury the dead. Yes. Who say, now this is part of their law. Whoever shall swear by the temple, it's not binding. Meaning, you can break your oath. Now, come back here to Matthew 5 and show what Jesus said concerning swearing. Matthew 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not forswear yourself or swear by yourself, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you do not have the power to make one hair white or black, but let your word be good, your yes be yes, and your no be no. Who? All the religious leaders and politicians have just flunked, haven't they? Totally. For anything that is added to these is from the evil one. Now notice how they justify here. See? Back here to Matthew 23, verse 16. Whoever shall swear by the temple, it is not binding. Oh, you can break your oath. And by the way, the Jews have a special oath that they take on atonement, which is called nadir, I think it is. Which is, the sum of it is, I'll just paraphrase it, on this day I proclaim that all my vows in the coming year are null and void. So they void them before they ever make them. So if they stand in the synagogue and pray the kol nadir, they're free to lie, have no conscience to God. Now notice how they twist this all around. But whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, now that's worth something, isn't it? The gold of the temple, he is obligated to fulfill his oath. You fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple which sanctifies the gold? And you say, whoever shall swear by the altar, it is not binding. But whoever shall swear by the gift that is upon the altar, he is obligated to fulfill his oath. You fools and blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, the one who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things that are upon it, and the one who swears by the temple swears by it and him who dwells in it. And the one who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. So quite a thing, isn't it? And the scribes and Pharisees were just exactly like the religionists today. They would pick certain things out of the scriptures and apply it. Notice verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you have abandoned the more important matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you were obligated to do and not leave the others undone. So you can go through and read all the rest of it here, because it's showing that what the Jews did was a religion of men. It was their own reasoning. It was not of God. Okay, let's read just a couple more. This is too good to let go. Okay. Verse 24. Blind guides who filter out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Why? Because they weren't keeping the law of Moses. You can read there in Exodus 21, 22, and 23, and other laws in the book of Moses, and you will see every one of these things are not there. In fact, the opposite applies. So he says, blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of the bones of the dead and of all uncleanness. Likewise, you also outwardly appear to men to be righteous, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And that is sure true, and that's borne out in the book that we're publishing, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. They will get around any law of God by having a rabbi say, you know, something different, change it, add to it. They can't take away from it, but they can wrap a little more of that, how should we say, wrinkled baling wire around their laws and become lawless. Okay, they appear to be righteous to all. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and see if we can further understand the thing concerning which Moses did the Pharisees follow.